The General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 278 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of April 27th, 2021. This week, we get toasty, Mario heads into lockdown, and give us money, please. I'm Dom, and I got with me TJ.
Sup.
That's it. Sorry, I'm going to fix my Discord window. Yep, that's it. All right, let's start off with some nerd news. No, wait. Nope. What are you playing? Sorry. I have too much coffee today. What are you playing, TJ?
So we aren't playing anything, but you, me, and our number one fan, Greg, and his fiance went out to go see a movie, and we saw Mortal Kombat.
Show did.
It was better than I expected. The star of the movie is Kano, which is 100% worth the ticket price. We saw an IMAX as well, which I haven't seen a movie in forever, so I don't know what the difference would be.
Bigger screen and much, 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 much louder sound.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but it was ear splitting in the beginning in our theater. I don't know if that's just Dan Barry AMC problem or an IMAX in general problem, but
yeah, I don't know. That's the second IMAX movie I've been to where the volume has been too loud. The first time during Jurassic Park, I legitimately almost walked out, but they did turn the volume down at some point.
Yeah,
so either they noticed or someone else complained because it was like so loud that my head was actively hurting. This was not that loud. It was just like a little louder than I was expecting. Yeah.
It was getting annoying, but then you got used to it. I don't know if that's just Stockholm syndrome at that point, but
yeah, but they might have also turned it down a little bit. I have no idea.
Yeah, but it was actually really fun.
Yeah.
Again, Kano is worth the ticket price. He was the funniest character throughout the whole thing. The characters looked great. The CGI was hit or miss for me, at least.
Yeah, I don't remember a single time being like, that looks bad. You know, that there wasn't any, like, there was part of it where I was like, wow, that looks really cool. But the rest of it I just felt was like pretty on par with what I expect from a, you know, a movie like that and with that sort of budget.
Yeah. I mean, it's way better than the old ones.
Well, yeah. So it was like literally everything.
Dog shit.
Yeah.
It's got like a story that's fine. I mean, it's pretty cookie cutter. The main character is pretty cookie cutter. But just seeing all the characters there and how they interact with each other and like just the interactions between characters was great. Because you have all these other weird characters going together and talking to each other. And it's a lot more weird than in the game. I don't know, weird, but like they bounce off each other a lot better. I think, again, it's just Kano who pulled it all together.
I think a lot of it is that, like, it was actually, like, dialogue meant for interacting with each other. Like, if you do the story mode in the games, they interact pretty fine.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, everybody has quotes in the beginning of the matches, so those are always a little bit awkward because they're reflective. But, like, yeah, it felt like more of, like, a real, like, getting at, like, actual people conversing with each other as opposed to, like, oh, these are two characters talking.
There are times where they actually drop a lot of stuff from the game. You know, you saw in the trailer with Scorpion doing get over here and stuff like that. There's a lot of fatalities. A flawless victory comes up at one point.
Kano does say Kano wins at one point, too.
Yep, that's pretty funny. It's just an overall good time. I would definitely recommend it.
I'd recommend it, especially because you can watch it on HBO Max if you're an HBO Max subscriber. Yeah. We chose to go to the theater for it because I wanted to, and I was happy to pay the ticket price for the IMAX for it.
Mm.
I think it was well worth that price, and I definitely plan on watching it again on HBO Max just to, you know, go through it a second time, and I'm sure that there's plenty of Easter eggs that I missed at some point.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of Easter eggs in there, tying back to the games or like making little nods and stuff, to the point where, like, you know, even a throwaway thing, they were talking about, you know, a cage fighter whose name was Eddie Tobias, which is Ed Boon and John Tobias's names, like the creators of Mortal Kombat. So you at least had, you know, you had little Easter eggs like that. There were, you know, pictures and paintings of existing Mortal Kombat characters that weren't in the movie, but, you know, you still know that they're there. So I think that they did a really good job. Some of the acting wasn't all that great, but
yeah, you know. I wasn't a fan of Liu Kang. I feel like he was very, very stiff. Even for a character that's supposed to be like that, I felt like there were test shots more than actual shots from the movie that they used, and it was really awkward sometimes.
I didn't really have much of a problem with any of it, but yeah, Liu Kang was a little, was eh. I thought Sonya's acting sometimes was a little not so great. That's really it. Other than that, everybody else seems pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, there was some CGI shots that were kind of meh. Goro comes up at one point, and some of his shots look great. And then some of the shots look like fucking PS2 graphics. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'll watch it again and I'll look for that, but I don't recall that at all. Like, you know, yeah, a monster like that's always going to be obviously CGI. I didn't think there was any point where it looked better or worse. I thought it was pretty even throughout the entire, whether it's a close-up shot or a faraway shot or whatever. I thought he looked pretty much the same regardless.
But I would definitely give it, if you can, give it a shot. It's really fun. It was just a fun time to watch and was surprisingly funny.
Yeah, Kano was hilarious. And it wasn't just Kano. Kano was funny. But there were other stuff that there were other characters and there were other things that happened that were funny too.
Yeah.
It was definitely brutal. There was a lot of stuff, especially the beginning of the movie was like some of the most brutal stuff I've ever seen. And I was like, that's really cool that they got away with that. And I'm wondering if there's an unrated version, a director's cut somewhere that's really more violent. Yeah.
The first fight scenes when you're with Scorpion, it seemed like that the camera was shot with someone else, like a different stunt coordinator, because it didn't some of the shots were really weird, like close up, not of people's like legs or arms moving and stuff like that. They were trying to show like quickness, I guess. And it was just really awkward.
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe I'm just nitpicking, but
maybe I have to nitpick just because
like it was fun all around anyway. Even with all the flaws that it had, it was still a lot of fun. And I would 100% watch it. I would watch it just for Kano, but
I mean, the movie only had a $55 million budget.
Yeah.
And it's already almost made that back. So like that, to me, that's probably a good thing because they said that if this was a success, they have like four more movies on deck.
Which I'm 100% into.
I don't know about four. I'd definitely go for a second and maybe a third one, especially if the third one's called Mortal Kombat Trilogy, because, you know, that would probably make sense.
Yeah.
But, four of them is a little much because, like, just thinking about where they go, like, this had kind of a unique plot. Like, it wasn't really that centered around the first game. The second game has enough of a plot where they could really almost verbatim do that story and pull it off. And then the third one has a good story also. So there is a lot that they could do with the first three games.
A tournament to begin with in this one. Tournament and then just fought outside the tournament.
Yeah, they talked about the tournament and then fought kind of to avoid fighting in the tournament. Yeah. It was kind of weird. So I really hope that they do a tournament in the second one.
That'd be dope.
Because that would, you know, to me, that would, you know, really make it like Mortal Kombat. Like, just do a tournament.
Yeah.
Their problem, of course, then comes in with, you know, how many characters are we going to kill off?
Because
the tournament is to the death, but hopefully they'll come up with something about like, you know, yeah, you die in the tournament, but you can get, you know, revived outside of it. Something like that. That would be nice, but I think it'd be a cool thing, and I'm definitely excited to see more of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, you know, the first two movies were... They were video game movies, you know? Like,
yeah, it was something else.
They're PG-13 adaptations of video games that should not be PG-13 in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they're just low budget, terribly acted, horrible special effects. And then eventually they came with the, I guess it wasn't a Netflix show. It was just like came out on Blu-ray, a series for Mortal Kombat with Michael Jai White as Jax. And it was fucking awesome. And it was just like, oh, like this is how you do Mortal Kombat. And then they just kind of went with that here. And it definitely, definitely works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they kind of sidestepped like technology to a degree in order to have people have powers like Jax and Sonya and stuff. And so their stuff being having power, like technology based, they made it power based instead.
Yeah. Because there's only so much explanation you can do for like, hey, these are humans fighting basically superpowered monsters and somewhat competing because they had like cool guns. Like that doesn't really fly all that much. Yeah. So, you know, giving them the ability to actually have powers was pretty essential to actually like standing a fight against anyone else who does have powers. Because like half the fucking people in Outworld are like flat out monsters. Like you have Goro, who's like a legit monster. Like you can't just have a dude from Earth just like punching him and beating him. Like it's not gonna work.
Yeah. So. I'm excited to see where it goes. I think it was well worth ticket price. If you can go see it.
Yep, definitely. All right, let's move on to some nerd news. I'll go first because it's something we talked about a few weeks ago.
Bitch.
And we kind of guessed it. So we talked about a couple weeks ago that Discord was in talks with Microsoft to be purchased. And we gave all of our cool things about what could happen if Microsoft bought Discord and what should happen if Microsoft buys Discord. So Discord has now ended their talks with Microsoft, and they are now focusing on expanding the business as a standalone company, which is like the other side of what we guessed when we were like, yeah, they're probably just doing this to get more stock so that they can just, you know, be better. And that's what it looks like. They just wanted visibility so that people would pay more attention to them. They're making money because their user base has expanded during the pandemic. And
probably by a lot.
Right. And a public listing is now on the table. So like, that's all this was, they wanted to get noticed so that they can go public and their stock can skyrocket. So it might be a good idea to actually buy Discord stock. That's not a terrible idea right now.
Also, was Microsoft ever involved? Like
with Discord?
I feel like Discord just made up these talks. And then because Microsoft has said nothing about this whatsoever.
No, I don't know. Reuters reported it, and I think Bloomberg News did. Just said that Microsoft was in talks to buy them for $10 billion.
But was that coming from Discord?
I don't know, but
that's the thing. I think all of this was just coming from Discord.
Yeah, but if that was coming from Discord, and it's been several months of this, because that was like a month ago or so, Microsoft would have said something if it wasn't true.
True.
They wouldn't just stay silent. They might not have said something that it was true because, like, why should they announce who they're in talks with to buy? Like that's, you know,
yeah,
that's no business of anybody else's. But if it was not true, if they were not in talks with that, they would have absolutely come out and made a statement and just been like, we're not buying Discord. Like, stop that. So
they could have been using it to test the waters.
Could be. But it just seems like Discord was making it public so that they can get more attention, so that when they go public with their stocks, it'll go up. And they'll get a lot of money.
It would go up through the fruit of the loom.
I mean, they got $130 million last year strictly through their Nitro subscriptions. So you pay $10 a month, you pay $100 a year, and you get special emojis and better video and stuff like that. They made $130 million last year just on those subscriptions.
We've had our servers that have Nitro, been boosted by Nitro.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've seen a difference. between the video and audio quality?
I know that I've seen a difference in what I can choose when I'm streaming into it. I know that I can choose 60 frames per second and 1080p. Does it work that way? Don't know.
Yeah.
Like, okay. You know, is whoever's viewing it actually seeing? Yeah.
Yeah, it gives you the option, but doesn't like actually stream. It's like the fucking, it's like internet providers. Oh, you can get up to this, but you're right. Never going to see these speeds.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's really just for emojis and stuff like that. But, Woo. You know, like I said, I'm probably going to buy some Discord stock right now. Just a little bit of it, you know, spend, you know, whatever money I decide to spend on it and just see what happens when they eventually go public in like a month or two.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling it's either going to, it's probably going to skyrocket. But yeah, I guess we'll I can't buy Discord stock.
No, because it's not up yet.
Because it's not public.
No, you have to wait until it's public sucks. And then you have to buy stock.
That sucks.
I was very confused at how you were able to buy stock for a company that's not public yet.
Maybe I need to go work for Discord so they can give me stock.
Stock options?
Yeah.
I would like my salary in just stock options.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens.
And
but
then quit that, immediately.
That dream is dead. I had a lot of hopes for Discord being integrated into Xbox so that instead of using my phone for Discord, when we're on group chats, I can just use Discord within the Xbox.
That would be cool, but I'd be worried that Teams and Discord would integrate.
I mean, I don't see why they would. I'm not saying that they wouldn't. There's literally no reason to. They're entirely different targets, and
yeah, but you're going to support two complete. You're going to support two messaging systems.
They already support several. I mean, Skype is still around. They own Skype. They own Teams. Like, they're phasing Skype out because it's not used and it's not necessary anymore. But, like, you know, to me, there's no reason to dump Discord or Teams because, like, they serve entirely different user bases and different purposes.
Dump, but just fold one into the other.
To me, that would just reduce the amount of money they can make. If people are happy paying for Nitro subscriptions for Discord, it's well worth their time and effort to keep that going and then getting Teams on the business side of things rather than folding them into one and losing probably half of your Discord client base because they're not going to want to go to Teams. And then if you lose any functionality from Teams, then you're just pissing off business people. So it seems like they'd be way better off financially supporting two messaging platforms because they're entirely different. They might be messaging platforms. It's like Facebook and Instagram. They're two entirely different social media platforms, but yes, they are both social media platforms, but they have to support them because they serve different purposes.
All the blending into each other at this point.
They have the same functionalities a lot, but there's, as far as I see, zero blending. It doesn't, like, you know, they're not folding Instagram into Facebook. They just have similar functionality. But they still support. They're still separate-ish. I mean, they are separate.
Well, we'll never know with Microsoft and Discord because Microsoft said no. Or Discord said no.
Or Discord said no. I don't know. Somebody pulled out.
Yep.
Wasn't me.
Yeah. All
right, what news you got for us?
Kind of sad news here. Super Nintendo World opened up in March. I'm going to say yes in March. Unfortunately, is being closed down after a month due to COVID. The entire Osaka area where this is located in Japan is being closed down due to COVID scares. And they will be closed starting the 25th of this month, which was as of recording 2 days ago. So, yeah, that sucks.
It sure does.
Apparently, Japan's having a really hard time rolling out vaccines. It's going really slowly. So that's
actually quite
thing.
Surprising.
Yeah, you think they'd be like really, I guess, because Americans need to, you know, have everything. So they're just grabbing as many as they can.
I just feel like there's plenty of countries that are doing pretty well in vaccine rollout. I would have expected Japan to be one of them, you know?
They haven't said, you know, what reason why it's going so slow, but it sucks that this is closing for the Osaka said that they are being closed until at least May 11th. So it's going to be a few weeks before even the place reopens again.
That does suck.
It's currently a state of emergency. Like, it's like everything's fucking closed, but yeah. Nintendo World is definitely closed. Apparently the views for the place are like a maze.
I mean, I've seen like videos of people going there and stuff, and it like legitimately looks like the best place I could ever be.
Yeah.
I just want to be there.
Currently, North American version is under construction in Orlando, but that won't be open until at least 2025.
Yeah, and so then it'll probably be shut down because I'm sure Florida will still have the pandemic by then.
Fucking got him. So 4 years at best before the North American Super Nintendo World even opens up. So, you're going to have to wait a few weeks for the Japan one to open, and then you have to fly your ass out there, which I wouldn't do. And then that's if that reopens May 11th. Who knows?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, yeah, the rate that things are going, I'm not sure, because India is like having a huge, huge spike right now. So, yeah. You know, anyone else can have a huge spike. And I know, obviously, India is super densely populated, so that's definitely... you know, causing some of it, or that's not helping the situation, yeah. But you know, especially in some places of Japan, it's pretty densely populated. And yeah. If it gets there, then it could spread again.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's the problem with the pandemic is it's got ebbs and flows, and unfortunately, hopefully that doesn't affect this place in general. And hopefully, you know, once things smooth down a little bit, this place can open, get really big business and stuff like that, because it would really suck if the pandemic affected something like this, because this is going to be the new Disney World.
Yeah.
Like, it looks cool and all that shit.
I just hope that the one in America doesn't suck. Like, you could just tell how much, like, care and thought and, like, you know, just polish they put into the one in Japan. And like, I really just feel like they're going to bring it over here and just, you know, whatever American contractor gets a hand of it is just going to fucking half-ass it.
I mean,
and make a really shitty park.
Nintendo's pretty on top of anything that's got their brand on it.
Yeah.
So I could see them being like, we have stringent rules and what, like Disney does, like stringent rules on what can and cannot be done and how it's supposed to be done and stuff like that. So hopefully Nintendo's more involved with that. They said anyone who purchased tickets already, they can get a refund for the one in Japan right now just because of the craziness going on. It sucks. And I hope things go more smoothly for them, because this would be cool if we got it in Florida.
Yeah, I'd definitely go. I would go to Japan for it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to do in Japan. I don't know if this would be on my top of the things to do list, but it'd be up there.
Yeah, I would go to Japan specifically for this.
You are a crazy person.
What else am I going to go there for?
The culture. What else?
Tell me, what else is in Japan aside from this?
Everything else in Japan.
No. Super Nintendo is the only good thing Japan has done.
Besides getting bombed.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the two high points of Japanese society.
Oh, no. Well, if we had any Japanese listeners, goodbye. Sayonara.
I'm sure they get the joke.
Oh, boy.
Or not. Who knows?
Oh, no. Well, if our listenership goes down by one, we'll know that Japan just
It was our one Japanese. Yeah. Yep. Our one Japanese friend.
It was a hard listener until the one bombing of Nagasaki.
He could
joke.
Take all the shit that we talked about every other country in the world, but once we made fun of Japan,
he was like, fucking, I'm out, that, bitch.
That's where it went too far.
Oh, no. So, yeah, if you're in Japan, you're going to have to wait a little bit to go check out Super Nintendo World. Yeah. If not,
that does suck because it's so cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And the videos or pictures I've seen of it, it looks too real.
Yeah. And it's like just... what it looks like It looks like something you would design and then be like, that's cool, but that would never actually exist. But it actually does exist. Like,
and it lives in
like
Japan.
I said, it's like the polish and like the little cool things that they put everywhere. Like, that's the stuff that I would just never expect. Like, you know, Disney doesn't have stuff like that.
No.
You know, well, Disney
is also how old at this point?
Yeah, but, you know, they could update something instead of just have a bunch of people in stuffed costumes and garbage all over the place.
They have to update slowly because they can't change things too quickly because they still need the place to be open.
Yeah.
Unlike Super Nintendo World, where it was just a new thing. Yeah, they just built it. Yep. So. And Disney, people are very particular what Disney takes away. So.
Yeah, you got to make sure that you still treat your employees like shit.
Yeah,
that's number one priority.
Well, yeah, Disney hasn't changed since then.
Well, hopefully we can get Super Nintendo World back up soon because it sucks that it just opened and it's already closed.
It's
but
been
like
less than a month and it just went.
Bloop. Yeah, I mean, it's been in progress for like several years.
Yep.
Just like bad timing that this is when it was going to open.
Yeah, it opened during a pandemic and just got fucked.
Yep. All right. Well, let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We will be right back. And we're back. So let's end our show with some geek on, geek off. What do you got for us, TJ?
Yeah, I'll talk again. Why not? So MLB The Show came out. Dom, you know, you can testify to this game. Since
I sure can,
I see you playing this all the time.
Yeah, I haven't talked about it yet because I haven't touched every single, you know,
child.
Like, yes, I haven't touched every child. I also haven't like played every mode and done everything yet, so I don't want to like give it a full review yet.
So it looks great, functions great. A thing they added into the game was the stadium creator. Now, this is only for the new generation consoles. Not the old generation. And people are making crazy shit, but they're also making stadiums from, you know, back in the day and ones that have been torn down or no longer part of MLB. They've done renditions of Candlestick Park, the former home of the Giants, Qualcomm Stadium, the Concrete Bowl where the Padres used to play, and Anaheim Stadium. Apparently has a distinctive halo.
Yep.
That's new. I did not know it had distinctive halo. Also, they also remade Tiger Stadium. And that was torn down in 2009. So like they're just making stadiums from back in the day or stadiums that have been torn down, which is really cool. It's really cool to see that people aren't just making like mon fucking monstrosities, which we'll probably end up doing at some point.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, they're because actually like using it to like play old stadiums that don't exist anymore, which is pretty cool.
But the thing is like it's kind of I guess offensive because there are a handful of old stadiums. You have Old Yankee Stadium and you have Shea Stadium. You have the Polo Grounds from back in like the early times. Like you have all these old stadiums and then they just decided not to include some of them. Like I guess if there's nothing specifically special about them, but like, is there really anything that special about the original Yankee Stadium aside from the fact that like, you know, the team associated with it, like, you know, Tiger Stadium was important. Anaheim Stadium, it was whatever, but like they have the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in the game already. That's I think been torn down. I know the roof collapsed at some point, so like that's cool. I could see them leaving out Candlestick Park because I think the only thing that happened there was people got stabbed in the parking lot like every game. So like I could see them leaving that shit out. Yeah,
they'd just be like, no, we're good. Apparently it's really hard to find these stadiums because the search function for there's no real search function and there's no real way to rate stadiums in the game.
Oh, that sucks.
So trying to find these things are really difficult, which really sucks because if you want to play those old stadiums, it really sucks that you can't find them. But I mean, they did some really good renditions of the stadiums. I'm looking at pictures of, Tiger Stadium and back to back, like where the, how the stadium looked back in the day and then like what they put in the game, and it looks pretty fucking similar.
I don't even remember. What was Qualcomm Stadium? Who played there?
Qualcomm Stadium for the Padres.
Oh, okay. That was the Padres.
Apparently it's a concrete bowl.
I mean, it depends. It was Qualcomm also the Chargers. Did they play there at the same time? Because a lot of times it's like that where they got new stadiums because like the football and the baseball team used to play there.
Mm. So I don't know. It doesn't look like it.
Now it's called San Diego Stadium.
I mean, I'm looking at
it was known as Qualcomm.
The pictures of the stadium, like there are people who posted on Reddit of like, here's the stadium that I made, and they do back-to-back pictures of like the stadium in back in the day and now, and it's similar.
It's the same thing.
What do you mean?
They didn't even. It's not a new stadium. They just renamed it. It's went from Qualcomm Stadium, and then 2017 they renamed it to SDCCU Stadium. So it's the same fucking stadium.
I think it's they not use it anymore?
No, they definitely still use it.
Oh, I don't know why then. Maybe it just looks different.
See. It must.
They also did the Anaheim Stadium looks really cool.
The Padres stopped using Qualcomm in 2003.
Ew, that's probably why.
So where the fuck do they play now? Oh, they play at Petco Park now. Yeah.
Right, that makes sense.
The Padres play at Petco now.
I think the Anaheim Stadium looks really cool with the big giant A with the halo on it.
Yeah, I miss that stadium. I remember that.
That looks pretty dope. And the palm trees in the back and shit.
When did that stadium go away?
Well, the picture they have is 1960s, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really cool that people are making these older stadiums that may not even exist anymore, let alone be used in MLB. It's cool to see what's coming out of the creator. And this is like the first, 2 weeks of the game being out?
A week. It came out. If you bought the special edition, you could play 4 days early. So coming up on 2 weeks now.
So 2 weeks in and they're already creating stadiums from the past, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And you can play some of the more classic baseball players you can play as well. You can recruit onto your teams, which is pretty cool as well. Mm-hmm. Oh no, it looks like an awesome game. I can't wait until you're done so you talk about it. Because I've been watching you play, so it looks really cool. I wish it was for PC, but sports games apparently are no-no on
which I don't understand.
PC for Game Pass, so fuck me, I guess.
Well, for the most part, sports games are generally never even on
PC. You get driving and games, that's all we get.
Yeah, and that's something I don't understand why. I don't know if it's because, like, PC gamers would do nothing but complain that they're not allowed to mod the game. That would be my guess, honestly, is that it's not worth putting it on because all they're going to get is shit from people being like, oh, why aren't you allowing mods? And just be like, because you just don't mod this game. Just shut up.
Well, I mean, I want to mod the game.
Exactly. And, like, you'd be like, oh, this game's a 3 out of 10 because I can't mod it. And they're not going to fucking
give a shit if it can be modded or not. But
and they're going to
get
bomb reviews because people are going to be like, I couldn't mod it to have the Avengers as my team. Like,
that'd be cool.
Would be cool.
Just fucking Hulk, one hand in it and fucking crushing it every single time.
But spoiler alert, he has a one power, so he just fucking hits a little dinker over and over again. He can't even hit a home run.
Yeah, you have to level him up, so you have to be in the minor leagues first with him. He's just fist in the fucking swing actions because he's so big.
That would be great.
Now
I want this.
Yeah, see? Now you want mods. There we go.
I'm going to go give this game a 3 out of 10 because they didn't put it on PC, so I can't mod it.
So I would definitely go check out the show if you can get it on the newer consoles and see if you can check out some of these stadiums if you're into baseball. Even if you're not into baseball, I think these games are fun.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not super into baseball, and I hate talking about baseball, but I mean, it's a fun game.
Baseball's my favorite thing, so I guess I can't comment on this.
Yeah. So, if you love it, hate it, I mean, it's still a fun game.
And it's on Game Pass if you're playing on Xbox. So
You can play on the older systems, but you won't have the stadium creator.
Yeah, that's like the only feature I think that's not in the new, in the old consoles. I guess it couldn't handle it. No which, idea.
Yeah, makes no sense, but whatevs.
Yeah, kind of sucks, but it is what it is, I guess.
So go check out that shit.
Yeah. All right. So to close our show out, we're going to ask for money. Give us money.
Money.
So Spotify has recently launched podcast subscriptions. And there's a little bit of nuance to it. So obviously you can subscribe to, I think there's three monthly pricing options, either $2.99 a month, $4.99, or $8.99 a month. And you can ask your listeners to subscribe straight through Spotify. But there are some issues. Number one, this is only available for podcasts who are hosted on Anchor, which luckily we are. And it's interesting that I see this article today because I think it was this morning or possibly yesterday that I got an email from Anchor saying that they now allow paid subscriptions. So
how does this work exactly?
I mean, it's going to be just like any other subscription service that you do. It's basically you're paying a monthly subscription for exclusive content, most likely either ad-free episodes or extra episodes or just, you know, some behind the scenes, something like that.
Yeah.
That's really what it's going to be. You know,
I guess it's something that like us as creators turn on.
Exactly. Yeah, we would enable that if we chose to. And I guess set the terms. I had to look into it. I just got the email and I haven't looked into
like when what you post the episode, you can be like, all right, this is only for people that have subscriptions and just like a fucking check mark or some shit.
Exactly. So extended episodes or raw versions, something like that.
Talking about raw.
But like there's plenty of other people who have this. Like, you know, you just subscribe to the Patreon. For a podcast like Dungeons and Daddies does it. My brother and me do it. Yeah. Like they all have, you know, Patreon services and you get extra stuff for it. Mm-hmm. You know, either extra episodes again or live listens or, you know, pre-release episodes, something like that. So it's just going to kind of be a, you know, another version of that. The problem with Spotify, though, is that you can't subscribe in the app.
Like just the phone app or the computer app too?
Yeah, apparently I'm assuming the computer app must work because unless you have to like go onto Spotify's website and like log in. Sorry. To unlock the show, potential subscribers will need to navigate to the program's dedicated Anchor landing page.
So you have to go to their site.
You have to actually subscribe on their Anchor webpage in order for it to unlock in Spotify.
That's retarded.
That's like really fucking dumb.
That's so super dumb. That makes this so much more useless.
Yep.
Because like why add Spotify with this to begin with? Why wouldn't you just run this through your own Patreon so Spotify doesn't get a cut of it?
Exactly. I would assume Spotify in 2023, so in 2 years from now, Spotify is going to be taking a 5% cut of total subscription revenue.
Oh, I tell them to go fuck off.
So like as far as like a creator goes, it probably makes more sense to go with Patreon because like
I don't know how Spotify much Patreon takes though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Spotify is just like taking money at this point. Like you have to go to Anchor's website to subscribe to it. And then Spotify is just going to take your money because someone's listening on their platform. Like, that's the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. It's a platform fee, payment processing fees, payout fees, conversion fees. This is for Patreon, by the way.
Yeah.
There's a few fees. They don't say how much is each. Yeah, of course they don't, you motherfuckers.
Okay.
Different subscription-based things. Okay, so what the fuck? So you get more stuff the more money you pay monthly. But no,
that's
no,
how
what
all
it
subscription
is
things work.
The more money they take out of how much you get paid, the more stuff that you get to use.
Oh.
So the light version, you get hosted creator page, Patreon communication tools, and Patreon workshops. That takes 5% of your monthly Patreon earnings. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is 8%, and you get membership tiers, analytics, and all that stuff. And they take 8% out. And then 12% that you get everything below that, and dedicated partner manager, merch for membership, and team accounts.
Okay.
As well.
So it looks like Spotify is just doing that light tier where it's 5%.
Yeah. Which isn't bad. Apparently the pro one that takes out 8% is like the one the most popular usually get.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
On the flip side, Apple's podcast will let you subscribe right within the app. So that's good at least. I don't know why Spotify is not doing that.
Yeah.
But Spotify is not offering any analytics, so podcasters aren't going to get names, email addresses, or any other information about their subscribers. Like, it's just going to be like, you have so this many subscribers, and you'll have useful. No idea who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can get that stuff from Anchor instead, but like,
I'd rather. I guess because if they make it so that you can do it from the app, I could see it Spotify doing well with it, because then you don't have to send people to a different site. You can just go, hey, just click subscribe in the app you're using currently.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, with no control over what's going on and no analytics to give back, like, I don't get the reason why you would do this right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, obviously, you can make it as easy as possible for your listeners to get to your Anchor page. I mean, we have it as easy as possible right now. You just go to genfailcast.com and it goes right to our Anchor page. We've redirected it there, and you can include it in your show notes. You can include it in your bio or something, which I'm sure we have also. And if we don't, maybe we should, but you know, you can at least do it that way. But the fact that there's just not a big green subscribe button right there is kind of stupid.
There's a follow button for podcasts, but that doesn't do you dick.
Exactly. So I don't know. Spotify says that they're open to feedback.
The feedback is you suck.
Well, that's the thing, is like, Spotify is open to feedback. Or are they going to do with anything with that feedback? No. Doubtful, because it's Spotify and probably. So I'm not confident that Spotify is going to handle that properly, but I think it's probably going to branch out to more than just Anchor being. Because, again, this is all because Anchor is offering subscription services now. It's not because Spotify decided to do this.
Yeah. Like, it just seems like Spotify's getting in the middle of subscriptions to Anchor. Like, it just seems
like completely unnecessarily.
Yeah. Like, there's no reason for this other than just throwing Spotify's name on it.
Yeah. So it kind of dumb, but yeah, realistically, it's Anchor has decided to allow subscription tiers to their podcasts, and Spotify is going to be taking a cut of it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. This just seemed weird.
Yeah, and maybe it's because Spotify does the ad insertion technology, so we'll see what happens with that. But I have a feeling that eventually more and more hosts, whether it's SoundCloud, or we used to use Blueberry, or there was another one that we tried for a while too. There's a ton of different hosting sites out there. Mm-hmm. If they start doing, subscription-based models, then Spotify will probably end up just developing it into their app that you can just subscribe right within their app and just.
Yeah, maybe they're just using this as a test to see if it's worth doing.
That's probably what it is. Yeah, it is worth doing. I think it's just not worth doing for one company. And if they have more companies, they're going to eventually have to do it, because they're going to have to create some sort of logic that sees that you're subscribed to this podcast, which is hosted by this service and stuff like that. So
just we'll see where it goes. 5% for no analytics whatsoever.
Right. You're basically paying 5% for Spotify to put an icon on your podcast saying that you subscribed. Like, that's really what it is at this point.
Yeah, you're getting dicked.
Yeah, I don't think Anchor takes any of it, because, like, that's kind of Anchor's whole thing is, like, we're not going to steal all your money.
Yep.
So
it's just weird.
I don't fucking know. But we'll see what happens. Subscribe to us for some amount of money a month, I think. I have to look into this.
lots of money. Just, you don't need a paycheck. You can send us your paycheck.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll, I don't know what we'll do with it. We'll be very confused that someone's fucking the full paycheck.
We'll go
to us.
Fucking strip club with it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
With the paycheck.
Yep.
Just throw that on a stripper.
But not even cash. You just throw the actual paycheck at them.
It ain't got my name on it. All right, that is all for us this week. Thank you for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, leave us a voicemail, or subscribe to us for a low monthly fee, please visit us at genfailcast.com. And if you like what you've heard from us, please follow us on Spotify, who will now be taking 5% of all of our proceeds, and leave us a review on iTunes, who won't be. Everybody say bye.
Bye.